You're listening to Fire Ecology Chats, a podcast series by the Association for Fire Ecology.
Hello, everyone. My name is Bob Keane. I'm the editor-in-chief of the internationally renowned journal Fire Ecology. Fire Ecology is a cooperative effort between Springer Nature, who does the publishing, and AFI, who oversees the journal. This is the Fire Ecology Chats podcast, and what this podcast does is try to introduce you to some exciting papers that come down the pike so that you can go to our website and download them. Today, we have got a very special guest. Her name is Chris Ray. Chris, can you introduce yourself?
I'm Chris Ray, and I'm a population biologist studying wildlife. I work for a nonprofit organization, the Institute for Bird Populations. Mostly, I analyze data from bird monitoring programs in national parks and other federal lands, including some military installations.
Well, welcome aboard, Chris. Really appreciate your time to come and talk to us about this wonderful paper. The name of the paper is Fire Gives Avian Populations a Rapid and Enduring Boost in Protected Forests of California. Chris, tell us about this paper.
Well, we were lucky to work with the National Parks on this project because they helped us bring together 35 years of annual fire data and two decades of bird monitoring to look at how fire has affected many of the bird species that are breeding in some of California's iconic parks like Yosemite, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon. These parks have been facing a lot of wildfire, and projections suggest fires will be even more frequent in the near future. So, of course, park staff want to understand how wildlife responds to fire, not only right after burn, but over the long term, long enough to account for effects of regeneration or other lasting changes that fire can bring. The response that we were looking for was a change in population density, the abundance of a bird species in a given area. And this is one of the main contributions of this paper. It's one of very few long-term studies that estimate population density rather than the presence or absence of species after fire. We focused on population density because it provides more information about how these species are functioning in these ecosystems. So, like, are there plenty of flycatchers out there catching insects, or are they just barely present? That's the kind of difference we're talking about. What's so amazing is that we showed the responses of these birds can look as varied as the species themselves. Some responses were immediate and tapered off quickly. Others ramped up for decades. Many species responded positively to all of the burns that we observed, and only one species responded negatively to all burns, even the low severity burns. Of 42 species that we analyzed, 28 responded positively to fire at some severity at some point in time after the fire, 1 year after or up to 35 years later. Only the one species responded negatively to all types of fire that we observed, and 13 species had really no response to fire. They occurred at the same density, whether they were in areas that never burned or whether they were in areas that burned moderately or low severity. So that pretty much sums up the high points.
So why did you do this study in particular?
Well, there have only been a handful of studies that have looked at long-term responses of wildlife to fire. Previous studies that have focused on birds have mostly been in forests managed for timber production, like national forests, where salvage logging can occur after a burn. The National Park Service was interested in how wildlife would respond to fire in the absence of post-fire interventions. And of course, we studied birds because their calls and songs and all the flying around that they do make them easy to detect. So we can take data on many species at once. The variety of birds breeding in these parks is just phenomenal. Our counts have detected over 100 species, and many of these species are fairly high in the food chain, so their abundance tells us something about how well these ecosystems are functioning.
What's amazing is that you did these surveys in some pretty important national parks in Southern California. What's so special about these Southern California parks that made you want to conduct a study there?
Well, these parks are located in a fire-prone region with vast forests and complex topography and some very high mountains. We wanted to see how a group of species that evolved with fire would be responding to fire more recently. So we analyzed as many bird species as we could, and we analyzed each one across the broadest extent that we could. Our models require a lot of data, so we couldn't analyze rare species or environments where fire is rare, like the very highest elevations of these parks. But the parks are vast, and so we were able to monitor response over large regions of forest and complex topography.
Is there anything else special about the methods you want to talk about?
Yeah, we looked at response to fires that occurred between 1984 and 2018 because our surveys started in 1999 and went to 2019. So, in the interest of pairing data from a fire one year and then birds in the next year or the year after that, we had these 35 years to look at. 1984 is the first year that Landsat data became available. This is satellite data that allow us to look at burn severity. So, we are looking at responses of birds to fires of specific severity over time. So the Landsat data gives us the ability to do that. So we had to start in 1984. We went through 2019, the last year of bird monitoring data that we included in this study. We analyzed models that included not only potential effects of fire, but also independent effects of important habitat characteristics, like the amount of tree cover and the height of trees at every point in time across those 35 years.
So, Chris, can you tell us what's so special about some of the methods that you did?
Yeah, so we were able to look at fires going back all the way to 1984 when good imagery became available for determining fire severity. And I should say that most of the fires that we observed were low to moderate severity in the parks up to the point of the end of our study, which was 2019. Since then, there have been some big mega fires in the news. And we just want to say that our study doesn't apply to very large, very high severity fires. They apply more to fires that are of a scale and severity that these birds evolved with. So we don't want to be saying that all fires are good for birds, but fires in the range that they evolved with appear to be very good for most of these species.
Interesting. So, given that, what would be the management implications of this study?
Well, it looks like whatever the parks can do to help maintain a variety of low to moderate severity fire could really boost these species, sometimes for decades.
I really enjoyed your time here. I really thought this paper was very exciting. And if you listeners also found it exciting, guess what? You can download it for free. Chris and her co-authors have already paid the freight for the download. So you can download it for free from our journal website and read all about this incredible study. I mean, 35 years looking at 42 bird species, that's pretty amazing to show some positive responses from fire. So thank you, Chris Ray, for being here today. And thank you, listeners, for listening. And be sure to tune in to the next Fire Ecology Chat.
Thank you for listening to Fire Ecology Chats, a podcast series by the Association for Fire Ecology. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our show and leave us a review. To learn more about fire ecology and support our future work by becoming a member, visit fireecology.org. FIRECOLOGY.org.